We did a part of the data analysis assignment yesterday, and now I'll introduce the full assignment. And this also introduces you to data management, which is a skill that you should know how to do if you want to be a quantitative researcher. And the task is to replicate a hypothesis from a paper published in an entrepreneurship journal. The hypothesis is growth motivation at time one has a positive effect on growth at time two. So we have growth motivation that's measured with an eight-item scale, and then we have the actual growth data about the companies. And we basically, during this assignment, you will go through the full research process that you would go through when you write a quantitative paper. So the process always starts with a research question and hypothesis. So we don't have to care about the research question, and I have given you the hypothesis already. So we start preparation of the research design, measurement, sampling, data collection, data processing, data analysis, and interpretation. I've done a sampling and measurement and data collection for you as well. So we'll just focus on the data processing, data analysis, and interpretation part in this assignment. So this hypothesis comes from a published paper. Here's the citation. And then we have the hypothesis here. You can read the justification for the hypothesis if you want. The step one always in a statistical analysis is that you have to have an hypothesis. Then step two is to acquire some data. So these data come from the Finnish Software Industry Survey. So I have survey data, 8 items on a rating scale. And then I have data from Orbis database, which provides data about companies. And so we have two sources of data. The company data gives us information about growth, and the survey data gives us information about growth willingness. And so this is a combination of a survey data and archival data, and it's fairly common. So then we have two sources of data. In a worst case scenario, we could have something like this. So we could have several different Excel files from the database, or you could have several log files, because sometimes your data comes as separate files for some reason. And then we have one Excel sheet or one CSV sheet from the survey data system. We need to have a way of, instead of having these separate files, we need to have one file that we analyze. So we have to combine different sources of data. And we call that the process of combining, we call it merging of data. So we merge data, and we merge it based on the company code and year. Another thing that we notice here is that here on one data, on the survey data, we have company code and year. So we have repeated observations, because this is a longitudinal survey study. And each repeated observation is a separate line in the Excel sheet or CSV file. Then the data from the database also contains longitudinal data, but it's in Y format. So we have revenues for 1 year as one column, revenues for the previous year as second column, then revenues for the T minus two in third column. So instead of having repeated observations as lines, we have repeated observations as columns. So we need to have both files in the same format, in the long format, so that we have each one line corresponds to one company in 1 year, and then we need to merge them together. There are a couple of ways of doing this. One way is to do Excel, and this is a screenshot from an actual Excel sheet that a student gave me. So the student combined these Excel sheets using Excel, and it's doable. You just write lots of these VLOOKUP commands, and if I would have to interpret, tell somebody what that does, I have no idea. So you can do this with Excel, but it's a bit error prone, because you have to write long worksheet formulas, and also it's nearly impossible to document that, so what it does. Another alternative, I don't recommend that you do your data management with Excel. So it's better to use your statistical software for data management. So any decent statistical software will allow you to reset data from wide to long format, and also merge two data sets. So here's an example of or state syntax file that does the same, R syntax file that does the same. I don't have SPSS here, but it's very similar. So basically, if you know what state does, or if you know what R does, it's really clear what this procedure does. And you could also write comments like, here we import the survey data and we merge it with the company data. So we could do things like that. So it's better to keep your data in one software to keep your life simple. And if you use statistical software, it documents the process better than by using Excel. I mean, there's also less error prone. Once we have the data set up, then we need to explore the data. And data exploration involves looking at histograms, looking at means, standard deviations, correlations. So you have to understand what the data are about, see if there are any large values, potential outliers that you should delete. So for example, here we have a company with 10 to the power 13 revenue. So that's like billions of revenue. That's probably a data entry mistake. Or it could be a very large company. And so we look at these different data exploration things to understand the data that you're dealing with. Then the next thing is to look at the scales. You look at the scales and you factor analyze the scales. If you multiply them, so they're the same thing, you use factor analysis to support that empirically, and then you take a sum or mean of the indicators. So you create a composite measure out of different component measures. Once we have done that, the next step is to do the descriptive statistics and correlations table. So the table one, in every decent study, contains means, standard deviations, and correlations. So that's, if you give me a paper, more than any good information systems paper, then more than 50% of the time, the table one is the correlations table, and it's formatted pretty much this way. So you do the correlations table next, and you interpret the correlation table, not by looking at what is significant. I don't usually even print significant stars to my correlation table. Rather, I look at which correlations are large, which are small, and do those correlations make sense. So if I have a large correlation between a firm's revenue and firm's profits, it makes lots of sense because the more money you get in, the more money there is below the bottom line. So you look at, and also if there are some correlations that you expect that should exist, but are very small, then you should be paying attention to those as well. After correlations, then you do your main analysis. The main analysis usually starts with regression analysis. So you start with the normal regression analysis, one dependent variable, many independent variables. You typically need to run multiple models. So you first include all controls in one model, and then you include controls and the interesting variables in the second model, and then you compare, does the second model explain the data better than the first model? If it does, then it means that your interesting variables expand the data beyond the controls. And that's usually a good thing.
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
So you first estimate the model with only the control variables, and then you have control variables and the interesting variables.
What is control variables?
Control variables are the alternative explanations for the association. Like let's say if we are interested in whether the CEO's gender influences company's profitability. So we are looking first at whether the CEO gender and profitability are associated. Then we look for alternative explanations for that association. It could be that smaller companies are more likely to hire women. Smaller companies are also more profitable. So that introduces a spurious correlation between gender and profitability. And we need to control for that spurious correlation by having a control variable. Mm-hmm. So control variables for alternative explanations, and then you have the controls and the interesting variables in the second model, and then you compare the model fit. I have videos about that under the course 2, the screen tab, so you can follow that. Then you do diagnostics for the model. You check for regression assumptions, and you check for outliers. And then you fix the most serious problem. You run the model again, and you run the diagnostics again. Then you check if you have a problem, you fix the most serious problem. Then you run it again. Once you think that you have solved all the potential data issues, then you can move on to more complex models if you want to. So we don't do more complex than regression now. You could. And typically you need multiple models. So quite often the number of models in final paper could be something between 4 and maybe 8. So you could have, for example, 3 models. First controls only, then controls and direct effects, then controls, direct effects, and moderator effects. Or if you have a mediation model, then you need to have 3 regressions, and all of those regressions usually also have the controls-only model, which will give you 6 models. So, and then you have the models as a table, where you have one column corresponds to one regression model, and the rows correspond to the variables. The assumptions of regression analysis are where that all relationships are linear. You can assess that by using the added variable plot after regression analysis. Then you have independence of observation comes from your research design, cannot really be assessed that easily. Then we have no perfect collinearity. If that doesn't hold, then you can't even run regression analysis. Then error term has equal variance is the heteroscedastic is the assumption. That can be tested. Error term's expected value of 0 can't be tested, must be assumed. And error term is normally distributed, can be tested. So you're testing these assumptions with the collection of plots that we went through in the first 2 classes. Then what can you do when you have different problems? Well, you can exclude data. So you can decide that if most of the companies in your sample are less than 10 million, then having a company with more than €1 billion of revenue in the sample probably doesn't make sense. So you can eliminate companies as outliers. Then you can, in this particular data set, there are part-time companies, and probably makes sense to eliminate those. If we have a company that makes less than €10,000 of revenue per year, it can't sustain itself as a full-time enterprise. You need at least €100,000 to be able to pay salaries. Then you have data transformations, particularly the log transformation is useful that you can consider. You can do alternative models and estimators. We don't do it today, but you could. And heterostatistics and cluster over standard errors you could apply as well. And you can try that. So I'm not sure if I talk about that in the screencast. Then finally, you could do supporting analysis once you have the main analysis done. So you would assess selection effect, for example, comparing the early and late responses, or you could do a Heckman selection model. It's not overly complicated to do. Understanding what it does, it's a bit complex, but to actually apply, it's not that difficult. Then do method bias analysis. Then you can do robustness checks. So if you identify that there's a relationship between growth and growth willingness, well, we have data from 2 different industries. Does the effect hold if we focus only on one industry at a time? So you could do that kind of robustness checks, just to check if you can break down the analysis by doing something. If you can, then the result is robust. So that's quickly the workflow for this assignment. So you have 2 data files. One is, I actually changed the data files last night because I realized that that the data for the revenues was not the full data, it was a subset. So there's an Excel sheet about company revenues. You need to process that and merge that with the survey data. Then you need to apply factor analysis to the survey data, decide which of the indicators to aggregate into a scale, calculate Grombach's alpha for that scale, then apply regression analysis using that composite variable as a predictor for growth variable that you need to create, and use other variables as controls. Then you do diagnostics following what we went through before. And I prepared screencast for the data preparation, and you check the screencast about factor analysis yesterday, so you can just get going with your favorite statistical software now and ask me questions.
Okay, so that is all the assignment, right? In the screencast, we can do all these steps.
Yeah, in the screencast, I will explain how to do these steps. Basically, you need to follow three different screencasts. I have a separate screencast for setting up the data, and I have a screencast about factor analysis and alpha that I gave you yesterday, and I've done screencast using different data set, how to do regression and diagnostics for the first two classes. Mm-hmm. And the workflow is exactly the same, you just have to apply it to different data set.
So we have to follow as well the videocast from the second?
Or you can do regression analysis without the screencast if you know how to do it.
Holy shit, right.
Yeah. So you don't have to follow the screencast. I recommend that you follow the screencast at least for the data setup, because how you set up a data, if you have never done data management before, it'll take you a long time to figure it out yourself. So you can just follow what I do. The screencast for SPSS is 20 minutes, for Stata it's 15 minutes. If I wouldn't be talking through the process, doing data preparation, it would take maybe 10 minutes for me. It may take half an hour for you with the screencast. Then you apply factor analysis, interpret the results, then you apply regression, interpret the results. And then you have, at the end of the report, you have a conclusion. And you have 2 weeks' time to submit the report. So I'll try to have your previous reports commented before that. So now that I have nothing on my calendar next week, so I should actually be able to do that.
Just a second, please.